Hello, welcome to a new episode of All Out for No Loss. This is Vasant and I have with me Ramakrishnan G. Iyer. Our other two regulars, Anand and Vijay, are not joining us today. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the miracle at the Optus and then what's ahead in Adelaide. So let's get on with the first test. When we went into the first test, the hopes that India would beat Australia were low. At best, we thought it would be great if they can give them a good fight. There were all these reports of a very spicy pitch and bouncy wickets against a team that didn't have its captain. Another leading batsman was missing. Their second best fast bowler was missing. And pretty much a team that looked rather thin. And then the first two sessions belonged to Australia. The Aussie Quicks, led by Hazelwood, ran circles around the Indian batters. And then, after tea on day one, everything changed.
And how it changed. Even going into the game, when the 11 was announced, it was nothing short of shocking. First, we pick Washington Sundar ahead of Jadeja and Ashwin. Yeah, we knew that Jadeja would probably be the one playing, and we knew that Ashwin wouldn't be the one playing, but clearly this whole Washington Sundar thing is an investment that this new think tank really believes in. Gautam Gambhir, Abhishek Nair, Ryan Tendeshore and company. So that was, I think, a surprise. Giving the cap to Harshit Rana ahead of Prasidh Krishna, who actually impressed in the A games, had played a test in South Africa prior to that, was an interesting decision. And then, of course, this whole idea of bloodying Nitish Kumar Reddy, you know, all of which I thought were pretty interesting choices. And like you say, Vasant, India conceded the first two sessions where they were all out for 150. But I don't think they conceded a single session till the game was wrapped up on day four. And that is an amazing, amazing turnaround. And like you say, we weren't particularly hopeful, especially after the 0-3 drubbing at home. But, you know, in the wake of the 0-3 drubbing, in the wake of the fact that they were actually at Perth, the fact that so many people were playing their very first test in Australia, there were two debutants. There was Jaiswal, who was playing his first test in Australia, Washington Sundar's second test. I think this was an exemplary performance from the Indian team. I would think of it as one of the top five wins in a Sena in like perhaps the last 5 years.
I agree with you. I mean, it was very unexpected. And I think the trend was set by the skipper. That first spell on day one, the new ball spell, when he got, and then I guess, was it Khwaja or Labuschagne? Who did he get second?
You know, it was Khwaja, because Khwaja. Labuschagne ended up batting for 50-odd balls.
Oh, correct. Yeah, he got Khwaja and then he took out Steve Smith, first ball. Right. And that immediately put the cat among the pigeons. And then Siraj, who looked rather weak in the first spell, bowled a beautiful second spell. And the one guy whom they always have a trouble with, Travis Head, Harshit Rana took him out with a terrific delivery. In fact, Rana didn't bowl very well. He was leaky, giving some runs here and there. There was always a four ball around the corner. But the few deliveries that he bowled well, he picked up a couple of wickets, he put pressure. And that was quite something to see, especially for a young 22-year-old playing his first test. Not one bit overwhelmed by anybody. I guess it helps when you rub shoulders against the likes of Mitchell Stark and everybody during your IPL. But this was simply outstanding. And I thought Nitish Reddy on the first day batted very steadily. I thought even though Sundar failed, he looked the part until he got one ball that he couldn't handle. Rahul was unfortunately given out. Somewhat dubious decision. It's a 50-50. But another side of me says the fact that we got all out on day one, when the pitch was at its spiciest, actually helped us. Because then we got a chance to bowl on that, and we rolled seven of them over before the end of the day. So by the time the pitch settled down, which was on day two, we took care of clawing back into the game. And very early on day two, Bumrah got rid of Alex Carey. And after that, we were firmly in the driver's seat.
Also, the wicket became sort of tame at that point, because the fact that Mitchell Stark was able to hold on for 100-plus deliveries must have given the Indian openers a ton of confidence about the way in which the pitch was really changing. And that would have helped the innings that Jaiswal lined up right after. Yeah, you're right. You could call it 40 to us in hindsight, but the timing of how they got all out really did work well for India. And remember, Jasprit Bumrah won the toss and elected to bat, which was a very, very brave decision under the circumstances.
Not enough can be said about the outstanding batting by Jaiswal and Rahul on day two. Two sessions without losing a wicket? That is simply outstanding. I'm not sure whether we've ever done it in Australia, or maybe the Lakshman Dravid partnership back in 2003, 2004 in Adelaide.
There were 200-300 plus partnerships in that test. I think the Sydney test between Tendulkar and Lakshman was also a 300
correct.
Plus partnership.
Correct.
And the Adelaide one between Lakshman and Dravid was also a 300 plus. But as an opening stand, this is the highest ever by an Indian team, beating the prior record from Gavaskar and Srikanth from the 1985 series.
They were very, very steady. Yeah. And Rahul, I think, got distracted by the whole Jaiswal celebration. And that's where we lost a little bit of steam. And then came an outstanding innings by Virat Kohli. It really, really pleased the eye to see him in this form, because this augurs well for the rest of the series. And if you listen to some of these Aussie ex-players and experts, that's one thing that they're absolutely terrified about.
Unusual Virat Kohli innings. And why do I say that? He played the uppercut. He does not play that uppercut at the Chinnaswamy Stadium wearing red. At least I can't remember having seen him play uppercuts in the IPL, frankly. I mean, he is such a classic batter, right? Cover drives, you know, flicks off the pads. I mean, those are his two bread and butter shots. He literally cut out everything else for a brief period of time when he was like not making runs and trying to get back. But here he goes. He plays the uppercut. He plays the square cut. He plays a sweep shot. He brings up his 100, if you remember, with this sweep shot thing.
Correct.
He's playing a pull shot in Australia, which worked magnificently well for him. And the cover drives are really flowing. I don't know what will happen. We'll get to Adelaide in a bit. But at least in the matter of that particular innings, he was flowing.
Wasn't there a reverse sweep in the middle of all that?
There was a reverse sweep in the middle too, yes.
Yeah.
It went between the keeper and the first leg. It reminded me of the mirror image of that Azharuddin shot, actually. Not enough can be said, Vasant, about that Kohli innings. I was genuinely pleased to see him bat that way.
When you talk about sweeps and audacious shots, Rishabh Pant's six, Pat Cummins on day one, was unbelievable, that shot. And then Jaiswal did it to Stark. So it's not like it was only one.
That's just like a scoop shot, really, more conventional. But Pant did that proper, you know, Rohan Kanai falling over. I mean, the whole drill. I think that six from Pant is now going to become the most talked about six, taking over from the Washington Sundar six, as far as sixes go, two iconic shots. But I think Rishabh Pant wins handily.
And going down the line, I was very impressed by Nitish Kumar Reddy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He batted.
So he had one off in the first innings. He made 41 runs, and I'm looking up the number of balls he played. 59 balls, so striking at about 69. And in the second innings, with the declaration and everything coming up, 38 of 27 with a strike rate of 140. He literally turned on the T20 hitting mode. And I think there was this one Mitchell Marsh over where he hit him like 4-4s or 5-4, something like that, in the same over. That was some thrash. Yeah,
and to add insult to injury, he also got Mitchell Marsh's wicket in the second innings. He was okay. He was serviceable as a brisk medium pace bowling. Yes, he's not as good as Hardik Pandya with the ball.
Yes.
But he'll get there.
He's just 22 years old, Vasant, right? He probably is working with the right coach, and I'm assuming Morne Markle is the right coach there. Mm-hmm. He could add another 5-6 clicks easily. I mean, if he works at it, he could add 10 clicks. I mean, then that mid 125 goes to the high 130s or mid 130s. We are totally in play at that.
And Sundar acquitted himself well. I mean, it's prophetic. Ars words from many years ago when he told Sundar that you'd better work hard because, you know, on the next tour, you might be the lead spinner along with Kuldeep. Kuldeep didn't make the trip. But unlike in the past, there's not a big amount of noise or any huge hue and cry about Ashwin and Jadeja being benched. And those two guys are not going to like it. These guys are very proud guys who have a long history of success. The fact is, This is a huge statement. I personally think Jadeja might survive a little longer. I mean, Ashwin, I'm not so sure.
Because he may have played his last test.
He may have played his last test because at the end of the day, Washi is an off-spinner. There's no doubt that Washi is a better batter.
25 years old.
It's taken a while. He became a star in 2016. It's taken 8 years for him to become something.
So let's turn our attention to the Aussie players for a second, Vasant. Couple of thoughts from you. Starting with the strange Marnus Labuschagne first innings, where he apparently went on the record and said, I want to bat like Pujara. And apparently that's what he tried to do when he played 54 balls for 2 runs. Unfortunately, you know, he Bumrah spared him the misery in innings 2. I wanted to pick your thoughts on that strange Labuschagne innings. And then I wanted to pick your thoughts on Travis Head. I mean, he is the traditional India nemesis. While Harshit Rana got him out for this wonderful ball in the first innings, he turned up like a bad penny in the second innings. Thoughts quickly on those.
Yeah, so Labuschagne for me has been out of form for a while. He looked scratchy. See, when Pujara played long innings, he was not getting beaten. He'll just dead bat the ball. He'll block the ball or he'll pat the ball. It's not a question of play and miss and all that stuff, right? He looks very solid. With Labuschagne, at any point of time, he could have gotten out, right?
Yeah. And he did, except that Kohli dropped the catch.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And to me, I think that added 20 runs to the Aussie total because that ate up another 2-3 overs of Bumrah's first spell. But that's a different story. It's all speculative. But my take is that Labuschagne is out of form. On the other hand, Travis Head took a very adventurous and attacking approach. And I do think that in the first innings, there was a lot of play and misses. A lot. He was somewhat lucky to have survived for so long. In the second innings, there were quite a few, even on that track. But that's the way he plays. I don't think Team India has figured out how to deal with him as yet. And that's going to be a concern. Although Bumrah nailed him in the second one. He looked very pumped up with the dismissal. So evidently a lot of thought had gone into that.
Correct.
What has happened outside of these two and the other stuff is the Australian ex-players, their media, their national cricket fans have gone absolutely crazy. I know Team India fans criticize the team when they fail, but these guys, they took it up a notch. I mean, down to the point of sack them all and this and that. And then, of course, inevitably, every opportunity, their guns are trained on Pat Cummins' personal views on certain matters that are nothing to do with cricket. And that come into play. They have been under the scanner. They've been under a lot of grief across the board. And we know how their ex-players are. It's not very different from our ex-players. They have been all over them. And the saner elements seem to think that, these guys will come back in game 2, it'll be fine. But should they lose the second test, there is a possibility of some mass sackings and changes and all that stuff. And of course, the English are quietly jubilant about it because that sets up their ashes for the next year.
Yes, exactly.
But my take is the Aussies will come back. They'll come back hard. A pink ball test, which we'll talk about, is almost always a lottery. A good win, nonetheless, for Team India. But I'm pretty sure that they're well aware that this is not the end of it. They still need to win a few more games. There is this magic number for the WTC final. The magic number for us is very simple. Australia has to lose 3 matches, including 2 against us.
Yes.
Because if that happens, we are through.
Yeah, absolutely. If we could win the 2 out of the next 4, and even assuming Australia win all the others, they still need at least 1 draw against Lanka. If India doesn't want any of those dependencies, win 3 out of the next 4.
Yep. I think then in which case the final is pretty much set. And talking about the other finalists, South Africa is going to have a very, very easy ride to the final, if I'm not mistaken. They will pummel the Sri Lankans and the Pakistanis.
Correct.
And what irony. This is a team that sent a third or a fourth string team to New Zealand for their first WTC series away. They had to do that because of the SA20 and everybody criticized.
The players wanted to play the SA20, right?
No, the board wanted them to play the SA20 and everybody was criticizing the South African board for not prioritizing test cricket. And lo and behold,
they're in the finals
of the WTC.
But the worst irony will be the fact that here we finally get a slightly easier opponent in a final in England, and India may not be there to play it.
Anyway, Adelaide, here we come. Of course, the biggest number people are still talking about is 36.
Yes, of course.
And they'll keep on talking about it. The 36 all out, all that action happened in the morning session. It didn't even happen in the twilight session that is supposed to be the bat session for batting. And one thing we have to remember, both in the first test in Adelaide and the test in Melbourne last time around, we took handy first innings leads. And then we rolled over in the third innings in Adelaide, and that led to the Aussie victory.
Correct.
It's not like we were outplayed. It's just that one bad morning and the way the wickets fell, if you will. And every time we made a mistake, a wicket fell, right? As Gilchrist in Prairie Fire, is that the name of their podcast? Yes. He was talking about the objective of the batter is to hit the ball with the bat. If you miss it, you totally fail in your objective. If you hit it partially, you've partially succeeded in the objective, although you might have gotten out. So all our did partially succeed. This time around, the team, I think it's going to be pretty different from the first test. What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, I guess the big question we're all answering is, where will Rohit Sharma bat? But as far as I'm concerned, Gill is fit. He had a good, compact, steady innings in that Prime Minister's 11 game. So I guess he definitely walks in ahead of Devdutt Padikkal. So that change is happening. Rohit Sharma, of course, has to be accommodated. So he will come in place of Dhruv Jorel. So that decision is pretty straightforward, I guess. The discussion then becomes who will bat where. There is what I want and there is what I think the management will do. I would prefer that the Jaiswal KL combo stays as is, considering they just added 200 runs, which has never happened in the history of India touring Australia before. But I have this fear that the management will want Rohit Sharma back opening, and this whole effort to have him bat at 5 in that Prime Minister's 11 game is basically nothing but one big red herring, is really what I feel it will be, which would mean that Rohit will likely bat at 5, Pant will go down to 6. It would be my preference, but I think KL Rahul will bat at 6, Pant will continue to bat at 5. And then 1, 2, 3 will be Jaiswal, Rohit and Gill. That's what I think will happen. The bowling, I suspect, will remain unchanged.
In terms of changes, I agree with you. What I would like to see happen, again, is not likely to be what the team's going to do is that what I'd like to see the John Cale open with Rohit at Kohli at 4 and Gill at 5. Okay? Play Pant at 6 or swap Pant and Gill. Remember that at 7 and 8, we have two batters.
Correct.
So there is depth in the batting. These are recognized batters. And
Nitin Reddy has a 400 in domestic cricket.
Correct. At the junior level, Kuch Behar.
At the junior level.
And we all know what Washi can do. So to me, we bat until 8. We have good batting. Not that Jadeja and Ashwin are mugs with the bat either. And Harshit Rana is not bad at all. He's got 100. He averages some 45 in first class.
Correct. He averages 42 in first class. That's
correct.
Right.
So given that, a batter coming in at 6, be it Pant or Gill, they will not run out of partners. See, the usual problem, if you remember in the past, VVS Lakshman used to run out of partners. He had to rely on these Pragyan Ojas to keep on batting. Right?
Correct.
The advantage here that these guys have is 7 and 8 are reasonably decent batters. 9 is, again, someone who can bat a bit.
Yeah.
So given that, having a batter at 6, either Gill or Pant, is not the end of the world. So just to give the left-right combination, there might be a temptation to play Pant at 5 and Gill at 6. But now, why do I think Rohit is better off at 3? If we want to risk the initiative, this guy can come in and completely dominate the show there.
Yes.
And the worst thing that can happen to Australia is have Rohit and Virat at the wicket and humming along at good pace. Yeah. At that point of time, it'll be a very hard situation for the Australians mentally. And the scene is perfectly set for Gill and Pant to come and just obliterate whatever is left of the attack. Gill can bat at 6. Now, there might be different strategy based upon when we bat, because it's that, what is it? Is post-tea when all this craziness happens, or is it post-lunch?
Post-lunch.
Post-lunch, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when the twilight zone and all
that. Yeah, the twilight zone.
I'm confused now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, the game starts around 2:30.
Yeah. So post-lunch.
Yeah, post-lunch.
It'll be about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock-ish. So that's the period in which gets a little tight, right? Adelaide's got that half-hour thing, right, with their time zone.
Oh, that's right. So, but here's the thing, you know, for people on the West Coast who care about watching the game, it'll be immensely hard for us to watch that last session.
Oh, very, very tough. Even if you're very motivated, I think beyond 3 hours is a bit of a challenge.
And what with having to go to work the next day. And
exactly. With, you know,
that motivation falls flat along the way. So we have to figure out a way to catch up with the game.
No, but I do think that the team is set. Looking at what happened in the Prime Minister's 11 game, Jadeja and Ashwin played hardly any parts. So it doesn't look like Sundar is going to be changed. And Nitesh Riddhi is not going to be moved. And Harshit Rana acquitted himself well enough, and he provides a little bit more batting. So I suspect Prasad Krishna is going to wait. And Bumrah and Siraj, well, Bumrah is Bumrah, and Siraj bowled well. So Australia looks like there's one force change. Bolan will come in for Hazelwood. Bolan averages 13.6 in pickball tests in Adelaide. So he's more than a handful. The other question is about Mitch Marsh's fitness. Now, they've brought in Sean Abbott. They've brought in some guy called Doggett, whom I've never heard about before. And they've got Bo Webster, whom we've seen recently, I think, in the Australia A game. But in every case, either one guy is more of a batter, less of a bowler. One guy is more of a bowler, less of a batter. And one guy, we don't even know what he does. The absence of Cam Green is
hurting
them a lot. I would think that they will stay with Mitch Marsh unless the guy is absolutely unfit. And they will give Nathan McSweeney some more time. Of course, if we win the test and McSweeney fails, we'll not be surprised if some ex-cricketers want David Warner back. The ex-cricketers...
they want Marcus Harris back.
The ex-cricketers being David Warner himself.
Himself, right, of course. Yes, David was the only guy who, like, when that big discussion was going on, right, even he goes to the press and says, I'd be happy to look at a comeback. Really, who wants you to come back other than you?
And we don't want you to even come back to India.
Oh my God, that was a different topic.
Yeah, it's a different topic. But it was
unexpected.
See, but he didn't have the numbers, right? He's not been able to play the new brand of T20 cricket where you go...
Flash, bang, bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
McGurk.
Yeah, a 15-ball 30 is much more important than a 40-ball 50, which is what Warner plays. So that hurt.
I think so. Mitch Marsh sticks around because they don't have an alternative. Bo Webster, I found out, bowls right arm off spin. He's not a pace bowler at all. So I don't even know why he was announced as a like to like replacement for Mitch Marsh.
They are here hurting because of Ness injury.
And of course, Nesser,
Yeah,
but he is good with a bat as well, Vasanth. He is in county.
Yeah, he's got 100 or double 100, is it, in the county. He's got a lot of runs in county, a lot of runs. Yeah. He's a pretty good bowling all-rounder, probably better than Sean Abbott. But
definitely. But if it turns out that Mitch Marsh is not fit enough, I suspect they will go to Sean Abbott as that additional
player, right?
Yeah, it'll weaken the batting. Alex Carey will have to bat at 6 and Sean Abbott will likely bat at 7.
Interestingly, before the Test series started, Alex Carey had the highest batting average in this year in Test cricket for these guys. Some 30.18 or something like that. So they've not had a good time with the bat.
Or again, thinking differently here, if it turns out that Mitch Marsh is indeed injured, maybe they'll bat Josh Inglis as a pure bat at 6. Forgo that fourth bowling off.
After all, Marnus Labuschagne is bowling stuff.
Yeah, he's bowling 135K.
Yeah, he's bowling 135K. The pink test, always a lottery because you don't know what the ball does, at what time people bat and everything. At the risk of potentially jinxing, I'm a little bit more hopeful in this pink test than I was before the last test. That's because these guys have shown what they're capable of. And as I had said, Virat is a very key part of the equation. And Virat in form makes their team look very, very different because it just spurs the rest of them along. And Nitesh Reddy and Harshit Rana have shown that they belong. So did Washington Sundar. These are all good signs.
Exactly.
But again, it's just one test match. A pink ball test match is a different kettle of fish. I think the last one we played was 4 months ago. We played two in India. One where Akshar Patel took out the English. Hyderabad, then one where Shami and Bumrah just completely obliterated Bangladesh in Kolkata.
Correct, yes.
And then I think the only other ping pong test we have played is the Adelaide game. On the other hand, Australia has been very regularly doing very well in ping pong tests, but they do not hold an all-win record because Shawar Joseph broke it at the Cabba. But they have won every single pink ball test at Adelaide, just like they won every single test at the Optus before this. Yeah. Time to take care of that one, right?
As hopefully it'll be a series of some of these firsts.
So yeah, I'm reluctant to give a prediction, but my hope is we'll do well. We'll give it a good fight and who knows.
I am optimistic as well, Vasant. So we shall see how that goes. I'm suddenly optimistic after the Optus.
Okay, I guess with that, it's a wrap for today's episode. And over to the City of Churches for the next few days. Thank you, everyone.